great privilege to have them come up and share with you this evening. Before they come up, let's just pray real quick. Ask the Lord to bless them. Lord, as Dave and Amy come, Lord, I pray you anoint their words. Father, you have orchestrated the events of their life up to this point. And Father, we are so thankful that you will continue to do so after tonight, because you are a God who is intimately involved with every moment and detail of our lives. Father, I pray you bless them. Give them your words. Father, may those words find good soil in our hearts, Lord. Might we be encouraged, convicted if necessary, and strengthened in our faith. Father, we thank you. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
Good evening. Tony said he would give us some water. That's what we got, but luckily it's communion night and there's a whole tray full of grape juice right there, so if that runs a little short, we should be set. But we'll just wait for the refill. It's okay. Like Tony said, we've been around here for a while, off and on over the years, and a little more consistently over the past year or so. And just grateful for this opportunity to come and to share what the Lord's been doing in our lives. And, you know, more than just saying, hey, here's what God's doing in our lives, we're hoping that this can be just a time, like Tony was saying, of testimony and of proclaiming the Lord and allowing you guys to see that and be involved in some of that and hopefully in return be blessed by it as well. So we wanted to just start with a little introduction of who we are, in case you don't know us. I'm Dave. David, when I'm in trouble. That's my dad, so I can say that. That's my wife, Amy, and we've been married for 14 years, and, well, almost 14. 14 enough. We've had some time together in ministry that we've been able to do things really since the time that we got married, kind of right out the gate. We have kind of an interesting story of just moving out here to Colorado Springs, sight unseen. Just felt the Lord's calling to do that for whatever reason. It could have been heartburn, I suppose, but he redeemed it either way. And he brought us out here with no family really to speak of and friends and any sort of community. But we were able to plug in to church at Rocky Mountain Calvary, which felt like home to us. I had grown up in Calvary Chapel and the non-denomination Calvary Chapel. So going to Rocky Mountain felt great, felt like home. You guys know what I'm talking about. And we really ended up doing just about every ministry we could there because we were newlywed and we had no friends. And so, hey, let's hang out at the church and do things. So, which was great. You know, we loved it. We got to make some really good friends there and, got to work through, working in the cafe, working with the toddlers, working with the high schoolers, working with everybody, really. It just kind of wherever they would have us. And, it was a great time. It was a great time just to learn about some discipleship and be able to be involved in people's lives. And, you know, through that, God's kind of led us into some other things. We've spent quite a bit of time over the last several years going through some pretty deep gender studies as far as what the Bible says about gender, which has been very interesting, and especially in this day and age when there seems to be a big blur in between male and female. We're all just the same, right? But we're not, and God created us in different ways. And so that's been an interesting ministry that God's given to us, and we've been able to share that with others through, you know, small discipleship groups and just life in general. Everybody's pretty interested about men and women and what that means, what that means in life, and certainly plenty of opportunities to share about that. So that's been something that we've been able to do. I've also had the chance over the last few years prior to us showing up here to be kind of part-time on staff at a church, which was interesting. That was something that we always said, I'll never be on staff at a church because that's just crazy. And but there I was, part-time, so praise the Lord. And a lot of good things came out of that. I was able to take a lot of things out of that and really, really see the Lord expand things in front of our horizon and what we were going to do. And I look back on that, and in the time it was good too, but I look back and see just God's hand on that. So it's really awesome to see that. Why don't you talk about relationships a little bit?
Okay, well, for those of you who don't know, we've known Debbie and Tony a long time. And when we first moved out here, and my husband kind of joked about that being kind of a funny thing, but actually it was actually a God thing. And he really felt led to come out to Colorado Springs it's been 14 years now, 14 years ago. And so just kind of blindly, he followed God's calling about 3 months before we got married and moved out here. And like he said, we didn't know anybody and we didn't really have any connections. And so we did get plugged in at Rocky Mountain as soon as we got married, and he did. He was out here for a few months before that, and probably like the second couple that we met were Debbie and Tony, which was such a blessing. It was just God's hand moving us into such a neat relationship, and they've over the years been near and dear to our hearts on many occasions, the ups and the downs of life, and the different things that we've gone through. And so that's been, they've just been a source of blessing and strength for us over the years. And so we're really thankful for them. We have met many people in many different capacities of ministry. Like he said, we were involved in many things in many different areas. And we were previously at a previous church, and we've just built a lot of strong relationships in this community over the time that God's had us here. And we've been very thankful for Colorado Springs and that he's brought us here. And it's been a neat place to start a family and to really grow our marriage, and just tons and tons of growing times and ministry times, and a lot that we can look back toward now that it's been 14 years and see God's hand working through us and with us and showing us things. And we're just really thankful for that. And it's really, we feel that was the start of just a huge process for us to bring us to this point of where we're at right now today. And it's just been really cool to see God do that. We have a strong small group right now that's not a part of this church, but has came out of the last church that we were there, and they've been just a real source of comfort to us as well. We've gleaned a lot from them, and you guys just being here at this church has been a place of peace for us. It really has, and so we're really thankful for that, and we've been able to have our family move out here over the last 14 years, Dave's family in particular, and we're thankful that they've been a part of our lives, are raising our daughters, helping us in that sense. And this is a place that we'll always look back on, no matter what God does going forward. We'll always look back and smile at Colorado Springs because God has done such a work here for us.
So should we tell them what we're doing?
Yeah, so you're probably wondering, what are you talking about? What are we? Bring us to the point.
It's so clear in our minds. Don't you guys get it? Anyway, so God's calling us to Australia, to Sydney, Australia, which, you know, when you tell people that, it's instant vacation in their mind. And I won't...
Not like Hawaii, you know?
Yeah. I won't lie that I've gone there a little bit. You know, it's a new place and exciting, and you hear about it and you see it and all of those things. But it's life. It's where we're moving. And really what we want to share with you tonight is just kind of that process that God brought us through to get us to this place, you know, and just really try to testify of what the Lord's done and to give him glory for all of those things. And so, you know, a lot of people will say to us, well, oh, Sydney, Australia, isn't that convenient? You know, don't missionaries go to third world something where they, you know, live in huts? And certainly they do, and praise the Lord that they do. But that's not where God's led us. And so all I really ever have to say in return is, well, you'll have to talk to God about that because that's where he led us. And so if you have a problem with that, not that any of you do, but you get the point. And so, you know, let us tell you, I mean, just kind of beyond, you know, hey, we're going to Sydney, Australia, pray for us, you know, adios. We want to get a little bit more in depth on that. And so really we want to start by looking at kind of just the calling that we felt on our lives, and then also the push that kind of came behind that, and try to walk you through this process. And again, I hope through what we have to say that you can start to apply that to your own life as well, and start to look at, you know, well, maybe what are those opportunities that God's laying out there for you to follow after and to do. And we haven't fully arrived. Please don't ever take it that way. We have plenty of growth and hardship to go through, I'm sure. But here we are. And so we want to testify of what the Lord's done. You know, really, one of the main questions we get is, well, why Sydney? You know, why Australia? And it was a series of events. You know, we had gone through some difficult times in terms of church and relationship and those sort of things, and kind of found ourselves in a place of wondering, well, what does God have for us then? You know, some things that we were involved in just kind of came apart, and you kind of get in that point of your life maybe where you think, well, what's God doing? You know, so things just radically changed. And what does that mean? What do I do with that?
That's such a testament too to just those times that you just like, what is going on, God? I don't get it. I don't understand where you have me, and I don't understand what just happened. And I know a lot of you guys can relate to that. There are just times in our life where we don't get it. We don't see the full picture yet of what God has. And so we were there about a year and a half ago that happened to us. And so we were just praying, God, show us.
Just really wondering, you know, God, what do you want us to do? And I had been listening to several different podcasts and those sort of things, different teachers, different evangelical, religious sort of things, however you want to classify that. One of them was geared primarily on apologetics, and there's a whole other backstory behind that, but I won't get into that. We only have so much time. Was listening to this, and the guy that runs that kind of heads up the podcast, he was interviewing a guy from Australia that has a ministry out of Sydney, Australia, that does different kinds of media preparation and those sort of things for churches and ministries to use there. And basically what they were talking about was just the culture and the people of Australia and their hearts and those sort of things. And so as I listened to that, it just tugged on my heart. It was, you know, it was more than just one of those, oh, that was interesting. Okay, what's next in the playlist? You know, it really resonated with me. And so I didn't know what that meant at the time, other than, wow, that really resonated with me. You know, and so what do you do with that? Well, you take it and pray on it a little bit. And kind of in the midst of all that as well, Amy and I both were kind of going through a time of, you know, just growing this real strong passion that God was growing in us to speak truth to today's culture, and how everything wants to become so relativistic. And you know, well, where's the line of truth? The truth is this to you, and truth is that to you, and different things. But there's a truth in God's word that is the truth, and it needs to be adhered to. And God was just showing us that there was this idea out there in the culture that maybe we had been a little bit sheltered from prior to that, just based on kind of putting our heads down and doing the ministry that was in front of us at the time, where we hadn't really put our heads up very often and noticed that.
I think that's easy to do, you know, especially when you're volunteering all the time or you're working for church or whatever. It becomes sometimes out of habit. Not that your heart's not in it, not that you don't love what you're doing, but you know, you get into that routine and you just dig in, and you're not really aware of what's going on outside of that bubble that you're living in. And so it was really a good time for us to evaluate that. And we had come into some contact through conversations with old friends, and we just realized so many of our friends, we were blown away. Kids from our youth group and back home in California where we're from just had fallen off, you know. They stopped walking with the Lord, or they got swayed into some other bizarre cultural thing that's happening right now, you know. A lot of emergent stuff out there that's going on. Some of you know what that is. And it was just really, all of this was happening at the same time. We just really felt a tugging on our hearts for, you know, what happened to going back to God's word? What happened to, you know, let's go back to see what God's word says and let's talk about that. Let's not talk about all the, you know, opinions and whatnot. And there's a lot of that happening now. And I think just it's a sign of the times, and also just, you know, media is so out there. It's so available to us, and we spend so much time on it that people are swayed. If we're not grounded in God's word, if we're not rooted, it's what the Bible says, we can be swayed to and fro. And so we just really were feeling that in a strong way as we had these conversations with other people, and just wanting to talk more with our friends and find out what happened. What happened along the way in your walk with the Lord?
And I think we were starting to realize that God was putting us through these things in a way of spiritual and emotional preparation for what He had for us. And that kind of, you know, harkens back to our calling. And, you know, how do you know what a calling is? And Chuck and I were just talking about this before service. And, you know, and you guys, it sounds like the book you guys are doing with the Pastor's Book Club kind of speaks at that as well. And a lot of people wonder that, well, what is my calling? You know, and is it something that has to be awesome and I float 6 inches above the ground when I find my calling? You know, and a lot of times we get that theology in our heads somehow. But I know that from what God had been leading us through, it was like, you know what? God's created each of us individually with our own gifts and talents, and I think we all know that. But at times we get distracted and we think, well, I know what good ministry looks like, so I'm going to try to do that. When it's a square peg in a round hole, because God's created you a different way. And so really finding that calling is coming to a place where you realize, okay, God, you've given me these gifts and abilities. Maybe you've got some track record behind you to kind of show that, you know, what are the sort of things you've gravitated towards in the past, and start to look at that and say, okay, God, how do you want to use that? How do you want to use that in the ministry that I'm going to do? You know, maybe it's not the head pastor, leader of the mega church, whatever, you know, whatever seems to look appealing and whatever seems to look like the right thing to do. But, you know, just really praying and waiting on the Lord and saying, God, how have you created me? And I think that's what we were starting to do. And through the series of these conversations with past friends and different things that we had gone through with church, it was just, okay, God, here it is. We have a strong passion for truth. We have a strong passion for the Word of God. And, you know, sadly enough, that's a little bizarre these days, you know, in general, just speaking about Christian culture and Christian church, that can kind of fall by the wayside. And I won't go too much into that, like Tim. I'll hold my tongue just a tad. You know, and so we really started to kind of look outside the box, you know, of well, what do we think ministry was supposed to look like, as opposed to, well, how's God created us and shaped us, and how does He want us to be used? And I remember a conversation that we had. I was standing somewhere in the house, and Amy's sitting on the couch, and I said, what if we are supposed to be in full-time ministry? And kind of like that, do I really want to ask that question moment? But it's always good when your wife looks back at you and goes, yeah, I was thinking that too. You know, and you're like, okay, well then, at least God's got both of us in this boat.
Yeah.
And we're doing this thing together. And so we didn't know what that looked like at the time. You know, we really had a couple of really faint relationships with people in Australia. You know, it was one thing to pick up and move from California to Colorado. It's a bit of another to take a family and move halfway around the world. You know, but we're like, okay, God, let me. So I just started pursuing that. You know, there was a couple that had come out of Rocky Mountain several years ago that had ended up in Sydney, and I knew that they were out there. I knew that this other ministry that I had heard about was out there. You know, and so it just started to spark up some conversations, and you know, I really felt that calling, and so I started to pursue that, and I'll let Amy let you know how she felt about that.
Well, I'm sure you're all familiar with the story of Sarah, and although I felt the calling for full-time ministry, and I was with him on that, when he said Australia, I was a little bit like, Sarah. If you remember in Genesis 18, when God said, Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I've become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. And don't you know it's been exactly a year almost that this has happened? But I have to admit that, you know, here in Australia, again, it's like halfway around the world. That's kind of crazy. And yet, here we are. Yeah. And God has just done it. He's opened the doors, and he's been faithful. But at the beginning, you know, I was a little bit doubting. I was laughing a little bit at that, and I just kind of thought, I don't know about that, but okay, I'll continue to pray.
I could see it on her face too, kind of like, yeah, all right, I'd love to go to Australia too, Dave. Are we going to do that on God's ticket? You know, I was like, hold on. So again, I started pursuing some of those relationships, not really knowing what the Lord had out there. And like Tony's talked about, and I think we even mentioned this evening, that, you know, you think you're going to go one direction, and God goes, why don't you go the other direction? And that's kind of what happened to us as we started pursuing this. I thought, well, let's see what this couple from Rocky Mountain's doing. Maybe we can get involved with them and help them out with what they're doing in Sydney. Was kind of our primary thought. And in the course of several different conversations and different relationships that we have with people, this other opportunity arose that was a little more, it was just beginning. Mm-hmm. It was a group of people who had a similar vision to us, and we were able to get together and meet with them and see what they had to say, really felt the Lord's hand on that he had brought us through all that he had brought us through to the place we were in, and he had brought them through what he had brought them through, and we were in this similar place. And so for those reasons, it was really encouraging for us, to see that. And so this, you know, kind of moves into the push part of our story. And we're both planners, Amy and I, and, you know, we like to know what's going on, and we like to think things through, and hopefully the artists in the group can appreciate us for that, and we'll appreciate you for your artistry. I think, you know, God really, he knew that we needed that, and so he knew that we needed, looking back now, I didn't know this at the time because I'm pretty dense that way, but looking back at it, he knew that we needed that in place to move us, to get us going, to say, all right, well, here's something you can look at, you know, is kind of what he was saying. And in our eyes, we're like, oh, yeah, that looks good. And the confirmations are good. And we really feel the Lord's hand on it. Mm-hmm. And so we were moving forward with that. And I know Amy was getting a couple other confirmations.
Yeah, and so I realized this was getting really serious with Australia. And I just felt like it was time to jump on board. So I had been praying and, you know, just asking God. And whenever I go through seasons like this, Lord, please show me some confirmations. Let me hear your voice in this. Let me, show me some open doors. You know, those are a lot of times some of my prayers when we go through situations like that. And I was, my mother-in-law who's here tonight, she invited me to a leadership meeting, and there was this Chinese couple there that who were sharing their testimony, and there was a sentence that, and this has happened to me twice in my life, but there's a sentence that she spoke that night about how they were under severe oppression, and she and her husband were praying, and she was, you know, they were imprisoned and all of these horrible things, tortured and whatnot, and she just said that she just prayed, Lord, lead us to a place of peace. And it was like God just totally spoke to me in that moment about that's what he was going to do with us. He was going to lead us to a place of peace. And so I really felt that as a confirmation at that time to let's just keep going forward and see what God does. And so this group was sort of like, I feel like it was a little bit of a lot test in our life, you know, just maybe we we needed it to get us going, but it wasn't necessarily the end all for us. So
yeah, and so I think we had that push to get us going. You know, maybe something that we wouldn't have otherwise done, because I would have looked at it, probably Amy would have looked at it the same way as, wow, that's a huge mountain, and I think I'll just take this other route over here because that looks a little bit smoother. But knowing that there were other people on board with similar visions was huge for us, you know, and so having come through, you know, 6 to 9 months of really tough time, really feeling like we were in the desert, sort of, you know, as we're waiting on the Lord and saying, Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to do in our lives? You know, to now have this vision and to have this thrust behind us was, you know, really encouraging. I think we were kind of, it was an awesome time where I feel like God just put his hand on us and said, okay, here you go. Here's some confirmation. I know you need this. I'm going to walk along beside you. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to help you through this. And so it was the beginning of that process for us, which, of course, you know, soon turned from thoughts of euphoria of, hey, we know what we're doing and it includes Sydney and that's awesome. And, you know, which was great. We were praising the Lord, but we knew, you know, we knew that there was going to come this section of work. You know, you got to put your hand to the plow. You got to do things. That you don't just get all the benefits in return without doing some work. And we knew that. And so, you know, we had been chomping at the bit for 6 to 9 months. And so to have this in front of us, we're like, let's do it now. You know, if there weren't a lot of other things in the way, we would have just gone right then. We were like, well, here it is. Let's go. But of course, there's visas and there's all kinds of stuff that you got to go through. You know, and again, I feel like God really blessed us in that process. And so that was kind of the next phase that we moved into was, okay, what kind of work do we need to do to get there? Okay, Lord, you've given us this vision, which is great. We've got friends and we've got support around us here locally, which, you know, totally thankful for, you know, and, but what do we need to do? And so process of research began again, because that's the way we are, and you know, looking at all the different kinds of visas, and I won't bore you with that. It's certainly boring.
Long.
you know, but God, again, God just provided in that area. You know, I'll just sum it up by saying that, and you know, just all the things in my life up to that point that maybe I had looked at in the past and thought, God, why are you hindering me in ministry and keeping me in this place? You know, primarily in this situation, it would have been with my job that I have, which is just a regular old job, you know. But what God did with that is really, he allowed that experience and that place that I had to qualify us for a visa that's just going to be incredible. And that, you know, many others that, unfortunately, you know, people that have been in ministry, pastors, those sort of things, they just don't have the same opportunities. Australia is a very skills-based place, and they like to see achievement, and they like to see those sort of things. And so the professional world is very attractive to them. There are ways for religious workers to get there as well, but it's not quite as easy or quite as long-term, mm-hmm. really. And so, you know, just to see God providing for that. And so mm-hmm. there was a lot of process involved with that. There was, you know, a good 2 or 3 months of just gathering paperwork and gathering this and gathering that and paying money and paying more money and you know, just getting all of those things in and waiting. You know, it's just you know, we would just go up to the point as far as we could go in the process and then wait. And God was just so faithful to provide in all of those things.
And I think it's a good, you know, just reminder that God, he remembers our faithfulness. You know, Dave's been faithful at his job for so long, and God just used that in the process. And just the faithfulness of us doing the work that he had called us to do up to this point and preparing us, you know, he's using that in the process. The whole time, it's been valuable. Maybe not in the sight of the world, but but in this process and just getting us to the place that we needed to get into. And so this visa was a major confirmation for us, because Dave getting the skills part of this visa meant so much freedom with this visa. And so because of that, that was a huge confirmation to us. That was a huge step in the right direction. We felt like God was behind it. And So we just kept going forward, and yeah, it was a lot of paperwork, and there were tests involved, and all kinds of different things, but in the end, it was worth it, and, you know, we just felt like it was that whole striving before the Lord, and he was watching us, he had his hand on us, and he's seen the work that we've been doing, and so it doesn't go neglected, the work that we put in toward the gospel, for the gospel's sake, and we really felt like through this process, if we ask for the right things, if we ask for the desires of our hearts to line up with what God wants in our lives, he's going to provide the rest. And that's really what's happened to us. If there's anything that we can say, it's if you're faithful to follow God the way that he wants you to, he'll be faithful to open the doors to get you there. And so that is really what's come out of this portion of time, which has brought us up to almost where we're at now, is just the working part of it, even though it seems like, oh, 3 months of paperwork, oh my goodness. But literally, it was God opening the door every step of the way, through all the tests, passing the tests, qualifying for the visa, all of those kinds of things that other people were struggling with or whatnot, and, you know, there God has them on a different path. But it just was such a confirmation that we knew that God was with us in it, and that we were walking in the right direction. And so that was really great.
And I think having those confirmations, again, was, you know, God does that for us. And he, as we walk in obedience and as we walk in faithfulness and humility, he comes alongside and just encourages us and does those things for us. You know, I guess, again, just speaking to those confirmations, of course, you know, finding the opportunity for this visa was great, starting that process. And up front, like I said, we were ready to jump on a plane and go. And, you know, at times we were like, oh, this is going to take forever. And the group that we were kind of lining ourselves up with, it just seemed like, man, they had their stuff together. And there was certainly a place for us. But we thought, man, we're going to be on the tail end of this thing, and we're going to be watching from afar what God's doing. And, you know, that's not what happened. in my mind, that's certainly what was going to happen. But we wanted to be faithful. And so because this visa that I qualified for, it gives us permanent residency. There's no obligations or time frames on it. You really become just short of a citizen with this visa, and so the opportunities included in that are just tremendous. Mm-hmm. I won't be locked into a particular job or occupation or employer, for that matter, and so that opens up just a whole world of ministry opportunities and what the Lord wants to do, you know, and just seeing all of those continued things and going into this visa process and knowing that they're saying, well, it's about 18 months for this to go through. And we see those numbers and we're like, 18 months? Don't you know I'm supposed to go now? God's calling me. I have to answer. But the calling's all the process. You know, the calling is not just, well, here you are, there's the end of the road. The calling is that entire process. And seeing God work through that, we've just been able to look back and just give God glory in so many different things. Applying for an 18-month visa and hearing back in 3 that we're moving on, you know, to the next step. And we're like, okay, God, just yet another confirmation that we should keep doing this. We're still waiting, by the way. And you could be praying for that. There's nothing much more that we can do other than wait at this point. And so we're hoping to hear at any point in time, but just being ready to go. And just through various things that God provided for us, he's been so faithful to us. And so, you know, I know we got to kind of pick it up here a little bit. Sorry. it's been a long time. Condense it down. You know, but so here we are again, kind of feeling like, oh, we're launched and we're going and this is the direction we're heading. And, you know, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. And then he does things like left-hand turns that you didn't see coming. And so, you know, how do you handle things when you're a planner and the plans that you had kind of just got pulled out from under your feet? Basically, what happened is this small group that we were kind of, you know, looking at hooking up with and doing ministry together, they basically got to the point of saying, we're not quite ready yet, so we're putting everything on hold. And we were already charging full steam, you know, to get there. And
we were thinking we're on the tail end, remember? So we're trying to catch up with them. And so it was kind of an awkward time for us. We just felt like, oh, no, what happened?
Yeah, we kind of sat there.
In the road.
We kind of sat there on the couch again. The couch has gotten a lot of work out. You know, just sitting there going, okay, God, what does that mean? still feel like this is what you want us to do. And again, that was what it came down to is to hear the news initially was a little shocking. I'll admit that. I was kind of like, I was waiting for the punchline, you know, from the person I was talking to. I was kind of like, okay, yeah, that's funny. Cause he knew everything we were going through, to get to where we had been. And I was waiting for that. Oh, just kidding. You guys are doing good. But it was like, no, I'm serious. And so I kind of went, huh. But it didn't take long for just all the things that God had done up to that point to fill my mind back up. Mm-hmm. And just to say, you know what? God led us to this point, and God wants to do something with us. And God has provided these things, and He set us on this track. Mm-hmm. And here we go. So things just changed a whole lot. Mm-hmm. At this point, we hadn't heard about my visa yet. It had kind of just been sitting there for a few months. And it was literally that night that
prayed.
I got... Yeah, we prayed, of course, because we're like...
We prayed that morning after we got that news. Lord...
What's going on, Lord? And
give us another confirmation if we're just supposed to keep going. We didn't know at that point. Should we stop? Should we wait for the group? What do we do, you know? I don't know.
And it was that night that we got an email from an immigration officer there saying, hey, I got your application, and let's move forward to the next step. So...
Yeah.
There you go. Another kick in the pants. Keep on moving. You know, and it really, you know, I think what came out of this change was a lesson that God had been teaching us for a long time. Through all of the ministry that we had been through in different churches, in different areas, in different ways. You know, I think what this change led us to was we've got to be focused on God. And we've got to be seeking the Lord for what He wants to do. We can't be wrapped up in what man is doing. As attractive as it may be, and as pure and right as it may be, each of us individually, we've got to be seeking the Lord and saying, what do you want us to do? Because the plans of man just got thrown out the window, basically, in this process. And so, and that's something that God's had to teach us in the past, too. You know, there's many good people doing good things out there, and I don't want to negate that. But you've got to follow the Lord and what He's called you to do, and stay true to that, and not be discouraged or persuaded when those things change, because those things change. What's the song? Seasons change, people change. Sorry, that's a bad song.
You know, it was just about letting go of the expectations of man and letting go of those idols in our life. You know, we can't trust in anything but God. He's the one that's going to show us. And if we're seeking after Him, if we're really asking Him, He's going to show us. And our plan is sometimes it will line up with other people and what they're doing, and sometimes it won't. And so, you know, the only way to know that is to walk through it and to seek His face and ask Him to show us. And so that's where we were at this point. And, you know, we really felt that that proverb 16:9, the mind of man plans his way, but it's the Lord who directs his steps. And that was such a comfort to us at the time, because we can make our plan in our own mind, or we can follow someone else's plan and we can try and follow the system or whatever, but it's not necessarily that's what God has for us. And so we have to seek what God's called us to do individually. And so I hope you're all doing that. I'm sure you are in your life, but it's about seeking God individually for your own family and finding out where He's called you, what He's called you to do. And so we really felt that.
Yeah, and I know one of the things that hit me at one point was, I forget where we were exactly, but we were talking with a group of people, and somebody was introducing us to another couple, and they said, oh, these are the people that are going to be missionaries in Australia. And I was looking around, like, missionaries?
Weird.
Who are the missionaries? You know? You grow up. I don't know. Having grown up in the church, you kind of think those missionaries are the people that float 6 feet off the ground and wear a toga or whatever. And, you know, and so I was like, well, who's that you're talking about? I thought, oh, yeah. And, you know, it's just a big impression on me that we're all called to live missionally, if you want to put it that way, that we all have our areas to proclaim the gospel and to lead people to the cross and to allow Jesus to change their lives. And so, you know, whether you're a missionary to some third world country or you just love your neighbor, it's the same. It's the same thing. And so I think it was just hearing that reference towards us, I thought, well, I'm just doing what God's called me to do. I don't know, does that qualify as a missionary? So it was kind of odd, but you know, this change in our plans, kind of getting back to that, I think it really caused us to ask, well, what does God want to do with us, and what does he want to do with us in Australia? Again, we kind of had slid ourselves into place of riding a few coattails and a few waves of maybe somebody else's vision, which is fine, you know, and people can come together and do those things. But I think God was doing something different with us and may have different plans for us in the future. We don't know because of all this. But, you know, it really caused us to stop and to sit down and pray and say, okay, God, maybe we haven't thought about so much about what you want us to do when we get there, you know, as opposed to just doing what this mass of people is doing that's moving down the road. And so that's been, you know, I don't think we have all the answers for that yet. But, you know, again, I think we're going to take our experiences that we've had in ministry over the last 14 years doing the ministry together. We're going to take that with us to Australia, and we're going to see what God wants to do with that. The people of Australia themselves, it's just a tough culture. It's a lot of hard soil, if you want, a lot of hard hearts.
Post-Christian.
Very post-Christian, European kind of thing, if you're familiar with that vibe.
Education is really highly valued, and so there's a lot of just creationism is looked down upon, and there's some hard areas there.
Yeah, like I said, they're very qualifications-based and skills-based and those sort of things, and so... you know, it's just a different culture. it's very similar to our culture here in America, but I think America has some different foundations that have kind of directed it a certain way, as opposed to Australia. I mean, we had some biblical, God-facing foundation to our country, which, Lord willing, holds on as long as it can. And you know, Australia was started as a colony for prisoners from Europe. And so here you got a bunch of rowdy prisoners living somewhere. And so, you know, the hearts there are very much, if they see a church come into town, or they see a new church building go up or a sign go up or whatever, more often than not, the reaction is, oh, yeah, I've seen that church before. It looked a little different, but I've seen it and I don't really need any of that, so I'm good, you know. And Sydney, being affluent as it is, you know, again, like Amy said, people are just, they're very self-sufficient, and so it kind of begs that question, well, what do I need God for? Everything seems fine. I have a house and I have a job and I have a family and whatever. And so you know, really our heart as we move into ministry there is going to be relational based. We don't have plans at the moment to go and open a church alongside anybody else. God may do that in the future. We'll wait and see what he wants to do with that. But our heart is really just to go there and to get into the culture, to get to know people. I'll have a job. Amy will be out in the community with the girls and school and all of those things. We do have a couple people there to hook up with and do ministry alongside, which we're very thankful for. But we want to see what God wants to do with those relationships. And that's really what came out of some recent experiences we had in different things. And again, just that focus on man as opposed to the focus on God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of the reason we've been here the last year, as Tony mentioned, is we've had a long relationship with them. And having gone through some hard times, we thought, man, I wonder how the McGars are doing. You know, and it's kind of sad to admit that it might take something like that to really spark up that relationship again. But, you know, praise the Lord for having that in place, and praise the Lord for the McGars and their ministry and you guys here at the church, and, you know, just welcoming us back in, you know. And so we really want to focus on the gospel. Mm-hmm. We want to go there, and we want to get to know people, care about them, allow them to see our lives, allow them to hear our testimony and to see what God's done in our life, and allow that to lead them to the cross so that Jesus can change their life. We don't have any great ambitions to change somebody's life. I think
change comes from God.
Yeah, it's easy to get delusional with that. I know I've been guilty of that, and I don't know how you guys have experienced that in your life, but you kind of feel like, man, if I do all these right things and I say all the right stuff, I'm probably going to change them. No, you're not. But if you can get them to the cross, and if you can get them to Jesus, then he's going to change them.
So that's a little bit of what you can be praying for us, is just integration into the culture, strong relationships, bonds that we can form with the community, the people, the few connections that we do have, just for strong relationships there. We'll be living with a family when we get there that is already there that we've met, but we don't know them really well. And so you can be praying for that. There's just a lot. And Dave working, finding a job there, our girls being in the right school, all of those kinds of things. Just everything you would think of when you move to a new community is going to be what we're going to be needing. And so particularly we want to work, like Dave was saying, on the grassroots level with people in relationship in the community. And so if you could just be praying for that God would open doors for those types of relationships, and just that his name would be glorified no matter what, however he uses us, whether that's church planting, whether that's small grouping, whether that's street ministry, whatever. And just so you know, this is the first time in our lives that we have just literally said, God, we will do whatever you want us to do. I mean, no strings attached. And
we always wanted to do that.
You know,
we always thought we were doing that.
Yeah, you think in your mind, I'm doing that. But when you get to a place where he brings you to where there's nothing left, you realize, Lord, whatever you want. And it's such a great place to be in, because he will show you. He will show you exactly. On a moment-by-moment basis sometimes. Sometimes you don't get too much of the plan, like that one confirmation was like that night. It was like, oh, okay. But then other times we've had to wait. And so it's just one of those things that it's a process. And you know, we encourage you to go on it. Go on that process with God. Ask him. Seek him. Tell him. Be willing to give up everything. And just so you know, as a side note, that was something that we skipped over earlier, but it's just like, you know, God had literally said to us that verse, you know, sell every, like the rich young ruler, sell everything you have and go and come and follow me. And we really have been living that. And I'll tell you, there isn't a more fulfilling time in our life. We've bought a lot of things. We've had a lot of toys. We've, you know, done the American lifestyle kind of a thing. And, you know, not that that's bad in and of itself, but when God calls you, if he calls you to give it up, give it up, whatever it is in your life. Don't let anything be in the way between you and what he's called you to, whatever that is. And so in doing that, we have found that place of peace. I told you that confirmation. That's come to us over and over and over again. We're in that place right now. As weird as it is, and we have people living with us now who are renters in our house, which is such a blessing that we even have renters. We didn't even expect that. And God, that was another confirmation. I mean, just financially, things have fallen into place that we had no idea, but we're selling off everything. We got rid of one of our cars. We don't have, I mean, it's just really weird. It was this weird place, but it's such a peaceful place. And I wouldn't trade it for anything, because it's a new area of growth for us. And just like, I don't want to be like the rich young ruler who walks away and goes, oh man, I don't want to give that up. That's a drag, you know. We want to be the one who says, oh yeah, that's nothing compared to what God's doing in my life. And we can honestly stand here and say it. It's worth it to give everything up, whatever it is that he's asking you, to go to that place with him, to a deeper relationship, to a better place in your walk with the Lord. You won't regret it.
Yeah. So, and I think in closing, which really means nothing, other than you have the hope of thinking, oh, it might be over almost. Just a couple points I wanted to point out. You know, it's been a blessing to me personally to be able to go through this with Amy, mm-hmm. and to have her on board. for that ministry. You know, had I really felt, you know, the same way that I did and knew that this was our calling, and she was like, I think I want to stay here. that would have made things more difficult, right or wrong. And you know, I encourage you guys, if you've got a spouse that loves the Lord and you guys do ministry, do it together. God wants to bring you guys together and allow you to do that ministry together. That glorifies Him in so many different ways. I don't want to get into them all, but it's the picture of what God has for us, that we would become dependent on Him solely, and then that we would also have that dependence on our spouse and the person that He's allowed us to join up with in this world. And you know, having that through this process, I know the same is true for Amy. I think I can speak for that. Being able to do this together has just been a huge comfort. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's really allowed us to have those times where things are really tough, and we look at each other and we go, "Well, that's ministry," you know, or "Yep, that was the target on our back that just got slammed," you know, "Good job, Satan," you know, and we've got to deal with that, but we've got each other, and you know, we've got the Lord, of course, but doing that ministry together is awesome. And the last point, I promise, is just dependence on the Word. And God's really been speaking to me over the last couple months about the Word, not only in terms of the Bible being the Word of God, but just what Word is in our society and in our culture. And kind of like we alluded to earlier, things are very relative these days. Somebody's truth is not necessarily your truth, or that's what they want to believe. But there is truth, and there's truth in Word. And, you know, sticking to that Word gives us a baseline to go from. It gives us comfort as well, because we know that the Word of God is true, and we know that we can trust in Him. And I know I heard it said recently that, you know, the Bible doesn't say "in the beginning was the video." It says "in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God," and that's how He speaks to us, and that's what means things. The Word of God, of course, is primary to us in our life, and then our word to other people is what we base things on. Hearing what we hear, we're preached at all the time by the world and by the enemy, and also by the Lord. And what are we going to take? How are we going to ingest that, and how are we going to apply that to our life? But the Word is so important. And I just want to share John 17:13-19 real quick. "But now I have come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world." This is Jesus speaking. "Even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not the world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth." And it brings me back to just another thing that I try to base things on. What did Jesus do? And I know it's kind of an outused phrase, but how did Jesus live His life? How did He react in situations? And I continually find myself going back to looking at Jesus' life and what's recorded for us in the Word, and how did He react to situations? What did He do? And how was He our example? And we need to use that example. We're not out there to create our own religion. We're not out there to have all of the answers. God's got those answers, and God loves His church, and God loves His people, and He wants them to be drawn to Him. Sometimes we, in this world, just kind of get to be that conduit. We get to be that testimony. We get to be that example that leads those people to Christ. And so that's really our heart as we go out to minister, is just to speak the truth and to speak the Word, and to let God fill in all the back stuff, you know, and to come to our rescue in that sense. And we're eager to see what he's going to do in those regards. But if you'll pray with us real quick, we can get just another minute. Lord, we thank you for this evening, and we thank you for this time, Lord. It's so great to look back on you and what you've done, not only in our lives, Lord, but what you've done for the church and how you've loved the church over time. And Lord, that you created us to be in your will, to be at your side. Lord, we're your children, and you love us as a father and as a good father, as a holy father. And you you want us to be alongside you, and you want to comfort us. And Lord, I just pray for each one here, Lord, as we seek after you in the way that you would have us to follow you. Lord, for some of us it looks different than others, and that's fine. Lord, we are a body of Christ, and every part of the body has its own responsibility and its own abilities. And so, Lord, as we just continue to seek after you, may you be glorified in all that we do. May your name be lifted up. And Lord, we lift these things up and pray in your name. Amen. And if we ever get any materials, we'll put them out there. I don't know what we'll have.
No,
but
we will.
If Tony will let us lease some space.
That'll run you.
It's worth it.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys very much for sharing your heart and sharing where the Lord's taken you. And guys, I hope they left me a couple minutes, and that's a dangerous thing to do. But I hope that you're able to take what is being done in their life, which admittedly is very specific. God, it's God's calling in their life. But take that and realize that you have a calling. And it's something we talk about a lot here. And I hope it's something that's foundational to our church. And that is, you know, there aren't some who are called to ministry and then others who are just called to watch. You know, I mean, that's American Christianity, but that's not biblical Christianity. Okay, we are all called to be ministers for Jesus Christ. The salient issue is, what is your calling? What is God's guiding in your life? And I love that you guys brought up Mark chapter 10. I encourage you guys tomorrow, if you get a chance, do some reflection on Mark chapter 10 and the story of the rich young ruler. Because here is a guy who was willing to a certain extent, right? He wanted to follow Jesus. And so he comes to him and he says, "What do I have to do?" Right? And Jesus gives him a list of rules, basically. And the guy says, "Yep, did all those." And Jesus says, "Okay, just this then. So all that you have, and follow me." And do you remember what his response was? Do you guys remember? It says he was saddened, and he went away because he possessed much. He was saddened and went away. The fact that he went away means what? By definition, he did not follow. Guys, if you are going to follow the calling of Jesus Christ in your life, there will come a time, and many times, where Jesus will say, this must go. And sometimes it's not because it's a bad thing, an evil thing, a sinful thing. He's saying, this must be out of your life for this next part to take place. Are you willing? And I guess that's what I want us to take. Are you willing to give up everything to follow Jesus Christ's call on your life? And it's a question each one of us has to ask. And I hope you're willing to ask. Because Jesus, just a little bit later in that chapter, he's talking to his disciples, right? And he told the disciples after the guy walked away, he said, "Man, it is tough for the rich people to get into heaven." And the disciples are like, "What? That's what we're all aspiring to here. We're all trying to be like that guy. What's the problem?" And Jesus says, "Nuh-uh, you're looking at it wrong. Because all of those who give up fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and whatever else you might give up to follow me, you will receive 100-fold, both in this life and in the life to come." Guys, that's the promise of Jesus Christ for you, for your spouse, as he is calling you into ministry. You individually, as a student, this is his promise for you. And I don't know if that overwhelms you or not, but he has a plan for your life. You know, we got some of the youth back here and up here, and you guys are sitting at the, you know, us old people, we kind of like look back on life, and you guys are looking forward to life, right? Did you know God has a plan? He has a plan, details of your life that He wants to fulfill. And the question He asks you is, are you willing? Will you give up? And that's true for all of us. I hope we can take that away, because that's what's going on in Dave and Amy's life. And I know they would admit that they're not doing it perfectly all the time, and we never will. But are you willing? Because if you're willing, He fills in all the back stuff, like they said. He takes care of the stuff, if you're willing. Amen. As we move into a time of communion,